The following programming is sponsored by MBC Media. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Stand by. Fire!
Well, here we are again live from Philadelphia, 860 AM, WWDB Radio. Welcome to Project Chaos, show number 19, the show that brings you the mindset and perspective of our nation's warriors. I'm your host, Chris Kunkel, a United States Marine Corps veteran and author of my newest book, Victory Over Chaos, which tells the true story behind the U.S. Marines' battle for Kafchi. If you like what you hear, be sure to visit projectchaos.org, where you can also find not only the replays of this show, you can find some highlight video reels as well as full-length interviews. And some of those interviews are incredibly rich. We just did last Monday the Michael Crescens story. Michael Crescens, Medal of Honor winner from Philadelphia. The Philadelphia VA hospital is named after him. We had the clips here for last week, which was an incredible show of its own. But I think you really enjoy listening to the full-length interview. And there's been so many others. It's hard to say what my favorite would be. I'm here as usual every show now with my brother Michael, who's been a partner in this endeavor. My brother, what do you think was your favorite interview? Who's been your favorite character in this list?
I don't know, my brother. I think probably the best show I enjoyed was with Sergeant Tyson, and then the other one with your Marine bud, Dave.
Dave was a good interview.
Yeah.
Sergeant Tyson, you know, he's like Rambo. Sergeant Tyson, I got a photograph sent to me of my first section chief. And, man, I'm drawing a blank his name right now, Staff Sergeant. But, oh, they could have been twins. It was unbelievable. And my first section chief, he was a Vietnam veteran as well. I don't know if we got to mention that. But those were both good shows. Oh, they've all really been good. The Cherries interview with John Podlaski. Interview with James Bradley about Iwo Jima, just really cool stuff. Anyway, you can check all that out at projectchaos.org. There's a lot of work we're doing there, more to come. Today, I want to talk about a little bit about a term that I learned from General Mad Dog Mattis, and the term is this, post-traumatic growth. And we've got a friend of the show coming on, Daniel Kramer from Project Chaos MMA. Should be an interesting conversation. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that in a second, and we'll bring him on. But let me just tell you a little bit about what I want to talk about. And I use this term, post-traumatic growth. Now, most people have heard of post-traumatic stress, and there's other little coins on that. But what about post-traumatic growth? You know, for over 250 years now, from before we were in a country, some of our finest men and women have donned their uniforms, grabbed a rifle, and went off to fight. Noble people fighting for a nobler cause. Even if our politicians have polluted that cause from time to time, the military, our finest citizens, have always stepped up and shown their best when humanity is at its worst. And that's just really a fact. And I want to talk a little bit more about all this with Daniel Kramer and get a little understanding of what Project Chaos MMA is doing about all that. But let me just say this first. It's a real issue transitioning back to civilian life. Regardless of your service, whether it was combat service, whether you deployed, and if we get time after we get done with Daniel, I'll talk about these different categories of veterans as I see. It's not really important right now. But I want to say this. Look, we all get a little depressed from time to time. It's just a fact, man. And you got to learn to process that like being hungry. Like just because you get hungry doesn't mean you're malnutritioned, for God's sake. You get hungry, what do? You eat a sandwich.
You eat.
Right. You get a little depressed. You got to take care. I was at David Goggins, right? He's a motivational speaker. The guy's run around the planet like 17 times. He's telling this story about, hey, he doesn't really want to work out. What he's talking about, he's a little depressed. Now, he's got a formula for that. He goes back and he punishes himself for it. He's like, the minute I saw I wasn't getting on that elliptical, it was like 2 hours, dude. You're going to suffer now. I kind of play those little games with myself sometimes, you know?
Yeah, you do.
Usually end up getting hurt, but that's another story. But listen, my point is this, negativity is a problem, all right? And I understand it's hard to find purpose in your civilian life when our military service was so extraordinary. And you're going to come home, it's just not going to be the same level of excitement, and we got to process that too. And I think I have this article here, you know, veteran suicide is a problem. And it's talking about all the things that the VA is going to do, and I believe that they're going to do what they're going to do, yada, yada, yada. But if you ask me, I think the solution has to come from within. We have to stick together. And that's one of the reasons why I'm excited to talk to Daniel Kramer and learn a little bit more about what he's doing with Project Chaos MMA. But I'll just say this before we bring him on. We're never going to relate to most civilians. We're never going to adjust back to civilian life because we've been made into warriors. We've been made into something different. And it's going to be a process to get through that, and we need to help each other. Let's talk to Daniel here, Daniel, about what you're doing with Project Chaos MA. Where is it? What is it? What do you do, and who's involved, if that's not too many questions?
No, not at all. Thanks for having me on, you guys.
Great to have you, brother.
Mm-hmm.
So what is this Project Chaos MMA?
Well, obviously MMA, mixed martial arts, but Project Chaos MMA is a veterans wellness organization where we provide funding for veterans. I mean, doesn't matter who. Mainly we are dealing with Iraq and Afghanistan veterans. But we provide the funding for them to actually take up a gym membership for any kind of martial art they want to try.
Wow.
And even strength and conditioning programs, because myself included, I found when I got home, you know, I lacked, didn't even have that like task and purpose feeling anymore. And then stumbled upon, you know, just the rigorous training that goes into mixed martial arts and just went from there with it.
Very good. That's outstanding. So you guys, you're bringing people together, you're providing funding for, is it for any veteran that would step over? You guys have a qualification process? How's that work?
As of right now, it's for any veteran. Obviously, it's, we do have a application process that you do have to go through. We're not, I mean, people do get in trouble, run into issues, but there is an application process. And I'm currently actually involved with a local center here in Connecticut where I donate time and I do like a little light boxing class for like the Vietnam, Korean, and the remaining World War II veterans just to get them moving and shaking a little bit.
Nice. That's got to be outstanding, watching a couple of Vietnam guys whack the heck out of each other. You could probably sell tickets to that.
Well,
you're onto something.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I think you're onto something, brother. No, nobody.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's
good.
I was going to say, it's good. I mean, it feels, they become part of something again, and you feel that you're part of something again. And that's the whole thing when you get out, like, you lose. You don't really lose it, but that warrior spirit is just kind of not there. You're buying diapers now in the grocery store instead of being forward deployed to the AOR in whatever country. So
I got you. So I understand exactly. And what kind of what I said leading up to this, I think is a good transition.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you're bringing guys in now. You know, guys get a little lost. You lose your focus, whatever, which happens to everybody, every single person. You know, Dwayne Johnson, not that he's my favorite person these days, but you know, he talks about this. You got to get beyond this stuff. You know, it had nothing to do with military service. It's a strength to be able to work through this process. And I like what you're doing. So you bring guys in, you say, hey, you're going to come be part of this team. It's going to be veteran to veteran for the most part, right, what you're doing there. And get them a mission and a purpose that's also physical.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a lot more easier the veteran to tell his closer family, like, hey, therapy.
Yeah, you cut out a little bit there, but it sounded like you're saying that it's been better received than traditional therapy.
Yeah, exactly. It's easier for the member, the veteran, to tell their family. I was saying that it's easier to say, hey, I'm going to go to the gym to my MMA class instead of going to therapy.
Heck yeah. You know, we were talking a little bit before the show started, and I said, you know, talk therapy. I'm not a mental health professional, so if anybody's in talk therapy and it's helping you, you know, please continue. But to me, it's a complete waste of time. Not just to mention and I'm sure this isn't the same for everybody, but I just don't see it as a broader solution. But and I actually see it as, in some cases, doing more harm than good, because a lot of times, from what I understand, people go into these therapy sessions, and all they're doing is just reliving the past, and you get it all out, and you know, once it's out, it'll be okay, and you realize, no, it's not. Maybe I should have just, but I think the best thing to do is to change the focus, which is exactly what you're doing here. You know, fill the cup up with good,
yeah,
and the bad naturally comes out.
Exactly. And right when I got out in 2014, after getting wounded on my last deployment, I actually went into Ryan's VA, an inpatient PTSD program. And like you said, all you're kind of sitting around all day rehashing old stuff that is.
Yeah, it has.
But you're all day. And then it becomes I do. I was there for 30 days because, you know, after I got out, I didn't know. Yeah. The monster. Now what do I do?
Yeah. You're cutting out a little bit bad there, brother. I don't know if maybe there's a better spot for you, but just to piece that together a little bit, make sure everybody got the storyline. It sounds like you were just, when I said about the talk therapy not working, you said you actually participated in an inpatient program. I'd like to talk to you a little bit more about that, but it sounds like you were saying that, you know, exactly what I was saying. A lot of that focus was this, you know, day-to-day rehashing that, and you wanted to find a different way. Is that why you started it? Was it your experience there? Was the reason you wanted to try a better approach? Why'd you start it?
No, it was definitely, you guys hear me better now.
I hope so. Sounded good there.
All right. Yeah, it was definitely because of my 30 days in the Lyons, New Jersey PTSD unit. It was, when I got out, it just, like, great. You guys, I did the therapy for 30 days, but now I'm back basically in Iraq and Afghanistan again.
Right.
So it was, I found, there was an old boxing trainer there that pretty much I connected with, and that's how it all began.
No kidding. That's fantastic. I've done a little fun level boxing myself with our unit. We've got some good stories of that. And it really is a great sport on a lot of levels. Let's come back to the inpatient thing a second. What made you join the Air Force? Why did you join the Air Force in the first place?
Well, I grew up in State College, Pennsylvania, or actually outside of it in Bullsburg, PA. So the entire time growing up, I was just surrounded by academia and people, like, they just the motivation and drive to go to college. And I always felt like there was something bigger and better. Like, all my family's been in the military, and it was just, I knew from a young age I was going in. So, I guess you could say it.
How old were you when you went in?
I farted around for a little bit after high school, but it was probably like 21, 22 is when I joined up, 99.
That's interesting. And where did you go first? Did you go down to Texas for boot camp? Is that where the Air Force boot camp is?
Yeah, down to Lebanon Air Force Base in San Antonio, Texas, and then from there you go to Shepherd Air Force Base in Wichita Falls, your tech school. Once you learn your MOS or in the Air Force, you call it AFC. Then you, after that, you're on to your duty station, and you go through your training process there. From there, I went to Travis, California, was out there for 6 years. It was fun. Pretty much just played ping pong the whole time before 9/11 hit.
Interesting.
I guess everybody's world changed that day.
So I've been to some of those places. My son's active duty Air Force. His mother's side of the family is also Air Force. I've been out to Travis. It's an incredible sight out there, seeing all the C-5s.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, it's just an incredible sight, the scale of it, and it really is. And I was actually down at Travis, right? Travis is California. Lackland, down in Texas. I went down to visit my son. He was actually in the schoolhouse down there. He's TAC-P. He's out at Lewis McChord right now. But I went to visit him down.
Oh, yeah. Good
base out there, right? The whole sprawl. I haven't been out to see
phenomenal.
That one. Yeah. He loves it out there. Well, Lackland was a little different area. I had a good time down there. Definitely a different experience in the Marine Corps bases. But anyway, it's interesting to put in front of you a visual on that.
Definitely huge change of pace down there from a Marine Corps base. So,
How long did you stay in?
I went from 99 to 2014 is when I got discharged after I got a head injury. I had an aircraft metal grate hit me in the head, so I have a TBI due to that. But so pretty much I'm, 16 years. I would have done my full 20, but they pretty much said, you know, enough's enough.
I got you. So you get whacked in the head, and you got hurt pretty bad. Where'd you get hit in the head? What side of your head?
Right in the forward lobe, like above the eyes.
Oh, man. How is it still affecting you now?
Yeah, it affects me now. Like, definitely, I can tell. Like, I have issues with speech sometimes. Short-term memory is not kind of there. And it's just, I can get overwhelmed pretty easily. But I don't know if that's, like, the PTSD. But it's just every day something new will pop up, and the doctor will tell me it's related to my TBI. So.
Yeah, so this is a common problem. I was just talking to this. I was out with a buddy on Saturday. We stopped at a little convenience store, and I'm trying to check out. And there's a machine next to me starts beeping, and it blinds me. It's like a weird how that affects me, you know. And I think it's just from getting whacked in the head too many times. But would you do it again if you had to sign up now? Would you join again?
I would go back in a heartbeat. I mean, even with all the everything experience in and after, I would go back in a heartbeat. It was the most phenomenal of ever life. Like it was, I couldn't even think of doing anything else. You know, I've got some, still, I have like, my best friend lives down the road that I was in Iraq and Afghanistan with. So it's just,
that's
no
awesome.
Doubt, I'd be back 110%.
Everybody says that, no matter what they've been through.
Yep.
Daniel, I'd like to talk to you a little bit more if you can stay with us. We got to take a short break. Hang on, and we'll bring you back on after we go to break one, please. Maybe not. Tyler's going to get it ready for us as soon as he can. In the meantime, we're talking to Daniel from Project Chaos MMA. Here we go for break one. We'll be right back in just 1 minute. See you there. Surveyor, civil engineer, but if you're in business, own property, or developing real estate, you know how critical it is to your project to make sure that you get the best. Everything has to be done correctly. It's important that those details are exact to ensure the success of the project. Well, my good friend Michael Tacconelli from STA Engineering is the best there is. It was my first job when I got home from the Marine Corps working on a survey crew, while Michael back then was the party chief. We hit it off well because of his relentless, disciplined approach. It was something that I agreed with. And I learned a little bit about surveying, an ancient craft that's now done with modern tools, but it still requires a high level of skill and professional expertise. Michael and his team bring all three, skill, expertise, and of course, all the latest tools and technology. The entire package of surveying and engineering, allowing them to provide builders and developers, businesses, and property owners with reliable survey, design, and engineering for land development projects in southeastern Pennsylvania. For your next project, you're going to want to make sure you have the best possible support. Do yourself a favor and hire Michael Tacconelli, STA Engineering. They're already serving some of the area's largest developers, and they've done work in just about every municipality in the county. STA Engineering. Ask for Michael Tacconelli. One of the things that's rewarding for me about producing this show is the historical significance. Imagine getting to know a guy who was with the Marines who landed the first tanks in Vietnam. It's an incredible story, the power and capability of Marine Expeditionary Brigades. And Joe Tyson Sr. was there, literally, the first tanks off the boat and onto the beaches of Vietnam. The deployment came as a surprise, and they had no idea how long it would last. He ended up there an incredible 18 months, all detailed and chronicled in 600 pages of powerful warfighting stories from the perspective of a ground-fighting combat Marine. He tells it all, a real inside look at the conflict, the campaigns, and the crews, a look inside the fighting spirit of the Marine Corps. Joe Tyson Sr. says it all. It's a book that you'll want to have in your personal library. It's called Unfortunate Sons. It's available on Amazon. Check it out. Unfortunate Sons. We had an opportunity to interview Joe here at our studio at WWDB. It was an incredible experience. You can listen to the interview at projectchaos.org. Don't forget to check out the book, Unfortunate Sons, by Joe Tyson Sr., available on Amazon. I want to take a moment to share a little personal recommendation with you. Although I've spoken at quite a few events now, I didn't have any good video of me actually speaking in front of people. When we scheduled the book tour, I wanted to get some good video. Well, we reached out to a company called MAV, stands for Media, Art, and Video. I'm going to tell you, if you need any video, print design, or art, I highly recommend you take a look at what they have to offer at officialmav.com. That's officialmav.com. Media, art, and video. They did a great job for us. Of course, they covered all the basics of being there on time, highly organized and ready for the event. But they really went above and beyond, capturing great video, making adjustments where needed, making sure that the final product was a perfect 10. I'm happy to say they really delivered on that. If you need video of any kind, media, design, be sure to check out officialmav.com. That's officialmav.com. We're back. This is Project Chaos. We've got Daniel Kramer from Project Chaos MMA on the line. Fantastic conversation. I want to just talk a little second about this for a minute about this idea of post-traumatic growth I brought up before we brought Daniel on. I think he tied in his comments pretty nicely this. And I want to say this first of all, you know, every veteran's experience is a little bit different, right? So I throw out this term post-traumatic growth. There's going to be a certain part of the audience who's like, oh, it's easy for you to say. And it is easy for me to say. I didn't have to watch any of my brothers get cut down. Not one, as a matter of fact. I did see a few things, I'll say that, but I didn't see that. I didn't have to deal with that. You know, somebody asked me one time if PTSD is real, okay? And just like war is tragedy and triumph, so is PTSD. You've heard many names over the years, shell shock, I don't know, trench, whatever. Is shell shock real? Well, you want to ask me? I'd say yes. You sit on the receiving end of artillery and you let me know if it rattles you. You could call it shell shock. I don't know. You could call it whatever you want. But I'll say this. Guys get sucked in deep for many reasons. It happens. And, you know, regardless of what you saw or didn't see or do or didn't see, guilt, pride, personal values, all these things play a role. And you get sucked into that deep for a lot of reasons. And if you're in deep, it's a good idea to ask for some help. And it's always okay to ask. Always okay to ask. You okay? Hey, I need some help. It's not that hard to say that, right? You can call the VA hotline, which is staffed by veterans who mostly want to help you. All this talk about the VA, and there's things we need to talk about. We had the VA whistleblowers on here. But the VA is there to help. You call the VA and say, I need some help. They're gonna work to get you the help that you need. Maybe I'll talk a little bit more about this when we come back. I see four different categories as veterans. I'm sure you could do this differently. But you got veterans that served in peacetime. I see those guys today. They don't even want to say that they were in the military. It's hard to even get them to tell that they were in the military. They won't tell you what branch. They won't tell you anything. Because there's been this long period of years. It's like this shamed out of existence if you didn't serve during a war. They have their own issues to deal with. Then you have guys that served during wartime that didn't deploy. Oh, my goodness. That is like the hardest group, I think, psychologically. It really is, the guilt that they carry out of that. It's like that when we talk about the docs and the corpsmen, like for them to watch it go on and not be able to participate, it's hard. Then you have wartime guys that deployed. And I guess another category of that, guys that were on multiple deployments. And then will be the fourth category, right? So you got the guys served in peacetime, guys that served in wartime that didn't deploy. The third category, guys that did deploy, like myself. And then the fourth category is guys that had multiple deployments and or, you know, serious close combat. Joe Tyson, for example, 18 months in Vietnam. That's like an eternity. And then, of course, you know, we could talk about the lies in the media and how that impacts veterans. But listen, my point is this. From time to time, you need help. And it's always okay to ask for help. And that's what Daniel's doing. Daniel, you had to reach out for help, it sounds like. And you said you were part of this inpatient program. What started that process briefly? And I don't want you to go anywhere you're not comfortable. Obviously, it's your medical history. But you know, what got you into that?
Yeah, no. I got out, you know, and just had my child. Was definitely unemployable because I had, like, it's just, I didn't even know how to live or breathe in the civilian world. And I was just getting, like, just heavily drinking, you know, first DUI ever once I got out. And it was just, I hit a point where I was like, the self-misery has to stop. There has to be a better way for me to live. So I finally, one of my buddies, I went to a place in Virginia, which was a veterans retreat. And they pretty much were the ones that said, hey, you need to reach out to the VA when you get home from this 2-week retreat. And that's where it started right there. I mean, it was the VA. Yeah, they, you know, my mixed feelings about them, but they saved my ass that day when I made that call.
That's good to hear. I think they do a pretty good job with this stuff. Maybe not perfect. And I don't know. It's like we said, we got to help each other, I think, largely is the big thing. But I think for somebody who's in trouble, and like you just described, I talked to a young Marine a couple of weeks ago, told me a similar story. And, you know, those paths can not, those stories don't always end well. You're lucky that you're able to get that help, and I'm glad it worked out. But that,
oh, yeah, definitely.
And if I'm reading you right, so coming out of that, would you say that the treatment at the end of the day was really effective in helping you get where you needed to go or not so much?
I would say not so much, because what it did is it just pretty much, I went in there and it was just picking away at scabs that, yeah, I know they're there. They're never going to heal. It's a goozy, nasty scab. But you go into the 30 days and it's just nonstop talking about the stuff that you don't necessarily want to forget, but you're trying to get over. I didn't really feel like I left with any tools to get over what I was experiencing. And that was when I started, you know, heavily working out, started mixed martial arts and Project Chaos, and found out like, hey, this is working for me. I have a brotherhood again. I got camaraderie. I got unit cohesion with my fellow fighters, other vets. So I kind of, I mean, the VA helped, gave me little bits of tools, but the 30 days in was just, I came out like a monster.
What do you mean by that? How so?
I came out like I was just freshly revisiting Gotcha. Everything from my past that was dragging me down, if that makes any sense.
Yes, yes, I understand. So, but the MMA you're finding is a lot different in that regard. So are you, do you guys actually fight? Are there real fights beyond, say, sparring, I would imagine?
Yeah, we actually have coming up in Boston on June 22nd, one of our guys that's a member of Project Chaos, Alex Carr. He is a Army veteran, and he will be fighting in Hanover, Mass. For an organization up there. The tournament's called NAG, North American Grappling Association. So, yeah, we actually do have people that do go out and compete and help get our name out there.
That's awesome. Well, I'm about 6'5", 250 pounds. How about if I take the winner of that?
Come on up to Connecticut.
I'm only kidding, brother. But the arthritis and my age at this point, I don't think I'd make it onto the mat, but maybe another time.
and that's the thing with our program is it's tailored towards, like, if you have an injury from deployment or whatever, you know, it's tailored toward what your needs are. Like, we just want people to feel that brotherhood, that camaraderie, and just being back in a squad or unit again. So we don't just necessarily just go hard all the time. It's, you know, it's building blocks for rebuilding what somebody once lost and they're craving again.
That's great. I could see how that discipline would help in a big, big way. Do you get good feedback from the guys that are participating?
I've seen, personally, when we first started in New Jersey in 2014, guys that were, like, probably, I mean, it's sad to say, were within to make a final decision and started training with us and made the realization that, hey, if I can put my body through hell with a bottle and pills, you know, this is giving me a better endorphin rush and it's making me have a clear head. And, like, firsthand, it's changed people, like, just every mental, like, just better look on their face, not the lost, hopeless look anymore.
You're cutting out a little bit, kid, there, brother. But I could catch you describing the impact. Guys look better. You can see it in their physical presence and their emotional well-being. And I could see how that would be a big help.
Overall, overall, it's life changing, and for me, it's a huge thing to just see that I'm able to help provide that. Very nice. It helps me.
Yeah, I could see. I think you're onto something really good there. In many, many ways. You know, something I like to talk about, you know, in this regard, it's like, I use this example. I used to have a friend. You'd ask him, it would just be a natural thing I'd do, go see him. Hey, how you doing? You know, most people say, oh, good. You know, just naturally say good. Well, he would always say, great. Never had a bad day. And I used to always think to myself, well, that's amazing, because I've had some really crappy days. And you could talk about it all you want. They're not going to be any less crappy. But the point is, you got to focus on something different. Because if you keep focusing on it, you're going to find yourself feeling pretty crappy about it sooner or later. And that's why I said having tools, when it does come up, that you got to be able to get out of it and work your way out of it. You guys are doing that together.
Yeah, I mean, if you're able to survive a situation that we went through, you know, overseas in whatever location, then we have the skill set. We just need to find the way, the means, and the how via Project Chaos Mixed Martial Arts to get through the crappy feeling that we're having now, the depression, the anxiety, and everything like that.
Hell yeah, brother. Here's what I like to say. I'm so glad you said that. I say the same thing. I understand everybody has bad days. Everybody has challenges. You know, it's a bad week. It's a bad month. It happens, but you got to get out of it. And I say, look, how is it that you guys go off, get deployed, have multiple limbs gone, and come home and write books, start successful businesses, and have motivational speaking careers, but somehow a guy, in some cases, who never got off a ship onto the beach can't cope. And I'm not saying that either guy needs more or less help. I'm just saying if the other guy can navigate it, we can all navigate it. And I think that...
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I do have some friends that have never stepped foot in the ALR or deployed. And in my eyes, if you put the uniform on and lace your boots up, God bless you. You're a vet. But there's a lot, I guess, guilt that's out there for the ones that never got off that ship or never really went in to a deployment area.
That's right. They're processing a lot of guilt, a lot of shame and guilt. And we as veterans, this is where we help each other. The VA's not doing that. The VA's not shaming and guilt. And we're doing it to each other, you know, because we walk around and we present our awards and, you know, we want to be proud of what we did. But it's important to understand there's a dual side of that. We need to bring all of our brothers across the finish line, right? We need to leave nobody left behind.
Yeah, exactly. And that was one of the biggest, I shouldn't say down, well, maybe it was a downfall, but it would become more, it was becoming a measuring competition inside the PTSD inpatient. Like, you know, it seemed like people were trying to one up, and then the person that didn't have the most extreme deployment, you know, would be shunned or whatever. So the whole veteran community, home station, if you never got off the ship or if you were kicking indoors in Fallujah, everybody put on the uniform. So there should be a brotherhood and sisterhood there, period.
Absolutely. Amen. Semper Fidelis. I got two more questions I want to ask you, my brother, to switch gears. What do you hope in the future of Project Chaos MMA looks like?
Bigger and better. You know, my dad's finally retired from academia, and he's a physiologist, kinesiologist, so basically sports medicine's his bread and butter. So he's going to be a huge player and helping the, you know, the donations come in, the grant writing proposals, and use his connections. But I just want to get, like, I know for a fact there's that one vet or two vets out there that's where I was. And it just takes that one time coming into a gym and just, you know, having that one experience and have them walk away and be like, hey, you know, life's pretty good and this is phenomenal. Like, I'm going to grow from this.
Yeah, I think, like I said, I think you're really onto something. I think it's a great vision. You know, there's a bit of a network, a loose network, I'll say, around the country of different veterans groups getting together, using exercise as a vehicle to improve their mental health. And this is a great twist on it. You know, when you're getting geared up for a fight, part of the reason I asked you, I started to joke around about it, but in all seriousness, having done a little bit of boxing, you know, you're getting ready for the fight, you're focused on that, and it's going to give you a break from everything else that you're carrying. You're getting ready to get punched in the face, and all of a sudden, that's going to capture all of your attention, and I think it's
exactly.
That's good.
And as time grows, I mean, my dad did numerous studies when he was at Penn State that's proven that physical activity is like the number one, or not the number one, but it is a huge help in combating PTSD in a combat veteran, or any veteran, I should say.
No doubt. No doubt. It's the simple thing. Staying hydrated, getting outside, getting a good workout, just keeping it real. So last question, Daniel, how can people help and find Project Chaos MMA? Is there a website, address? How can they help?
There's a website. It's Project Chaos MMA, not Project Chaos like you guys, but that's phenomenal. We're sharing the same love of veterans and all that, but it's projectchaosmma.org. Everything you need is right there. You can check us out on Facebook at Project Chaos MMA.
ProjectChaosMMA.org. That's ProjectChaosMMA.org. We'll run that out a couple more shows for you, Daniel, to get the word out about that a little bit. And at some point, we'll work to get it up on the website for you as well. And at least people
come
through, they get a sense and hopefully be inspired by your story. Great to meet you. Semper Fidelis, it's great to have a connection. Like I said, my son's in the Air Force. I remember when he came to me and he said, Dad, you're going to be upset if I join the Air Force instead of the Marine Corps. I looked at him, I said, I think it would be the best decision you could ever make, man. And he absolutely loves it. He loves it.
God bless him. Thank him. Thank him for his service. Thank you for your service. And I'm definitely appreciate this opportunity to be talking to your audience and you guys.
Hey, on that note, Daniel, thank you so much for your service. God bless your family, and we'll be in touch in the future. It's great to hear from you. ProjectChaosMMA.org. Go check it out. Give Daniel a little support. Thanks so much for being on, Daniel. It's really an honor and a privilege. I want to talk about something a little bit different that comes with this whole PTSD conversation that ties into this. And that's the license to kill. What do I mean by that? Well, I have a chapter in my book about it. And that license comes with a huge burden, a burden that many people would rather be dead than deal with that guilt. That's true. You just heard about that. Guilt that either they killed or they didn't kill. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. But this is the reality of the conversation. And I know it's not an easy conversation for many people, which is good. But it is important to the conversation all the same. People get killed in war. And we should all know that well. You know, my daughter, she read my book, Victory Over Chaos, which I'm very proud. She picked it up on her own and wanted to read it. And after she got done, she started asking me a few questions, specifically about our family's military service. And she was particularly intrigued by the fact that my mother was a Marine. And she knows that myself and now her older brother is on active duty right now. Well, she said to me, she said for her part, she'd rather work to try and stop wars. And I suppose maybe she was expecting me to push back on that because she had her argument prepared in advance. She said, you said it in the book. You said it's a real failure of humanity that we have wars at all. And you know what? I meant it. And I'm glad she agrees. And I hope she goes on to be the world's greatest peacemaker. But I've said this many times before. I'm not a pacifist. I do hate war. I can't believe with all the video and the history that we don't have world peace by now. I literally believed when I was a kid that it was going to be possible. But, you know, sadly, I'm realizing at this point in my life that we will likely never have world peace. It's unexplainable, really. And here's another point from the book I'll share with you just to make a point. The Marines never started a war. It's always been the politicians. There's never been the Marine Corps. But let me go back to the point of men going off to kill other men. There was a video I was watching from a corpsman in Vietnam. And you've heard me talk about these corpsman stories, and it's just really incredible some of the things that these guys have seen and witnessed and their testimony. So this guy was an Australian Army or Marines, whatever they are, and he was the first Australian unit in Vietnam. It's like way back in 1965, and he's describing all the mayhem that he saw. He saw a lot of his guys get killed, and some of the descriptions of that were just really incredible. Maybe I'll mention a little bit more about that, but first, he makes this point. He says it's really strange that men will go off to kill other men without even knowing why. All right. And I listened to this and I said, so it's my fault? Is my fault what went on? I'll tell you, that is such a nonsense argument that really undermines our military. And just because he wasn't clear on his purpose in Vietnam doesn't mean that not everybody was clear. Yes, he got a little confused. I understand that, and I understand that it happens. I'll tell you this, Alpha Battery was crystal clear in 1990. In fact, the best I can tell, the whole Expeditionary Brigade was crystal clear. How about Michael Crescenz, we just talked about last week? As messed up as that situation was, he was crystal clear on his purpose too. Zero hesitation. And that purpose, plain and simple, was that we were there for each other. You can paint your red, white, and blue nonsense all you want if that makes you sleep better at night, but I'm just here to tell you, we weren't singing God Bless America, and I don't get all teary-eyed when I hear it. But I will tell you this. When you're in a fighting hole with some dude from Detroit, there's only one thing on your mind, and that is that we better stick together or we're going to be dead. We called it esprit de corps, but it's the essence of every battle story, that American fighting men never turn their backs, even in some of the most heinous situations. Instead, you'll hear story after story of incredible valor. Everyone will tell you the selfless sacrifice, that they were more concerned with the safety of their brothers and doing what was right than their own lives. It meant more to them than their own lives. Compare that to what you see in Washington today, where all they tell us is lies and lies while they smile at us. Let me just say this before we take a little break. As far as the accusation that we kill people without knowing the reason, We went where we went because we were shipped there. There was no options. There was no discussion. It was Kunkel. Pack your trash. You're leaving. What was I supposed to do? Have a sit down with the battery gunny and discuss the wider moral implications or the geopolitical climate to make sure that it aligned with my moral values? He probably would have punched me in the face, and I'm not kidding with that. You know why? Because somebody thinking that kind of nonsense in that situation is a threat to the whole unit. You're getting ready to deploy, and the question comes up, even if it's not spoken, and that question is, are you ready to kill? And I'm going to tell you, we were all eager to fight. For some reason, that's not talked about, that we're supposed to be sad about everything. We weren't sad or scared to deploy. We were eager to go. There's a reason they called us the tip of the spear. And it wasn't for our strong moral reasoning, not at that time. We're going to take a short break, and we'll pick this up on the other side. I've got a little bit more to share on all this. I hope to see you there.
About 6.5 years ago now, on a whim, I decided to start a podcast. I've been doing it about every day since then, but there's something else I want to tell you. When I got into it, I had a lot of experience listening to all the top names for many, many years, and one of the things I observed is that they had all written books. So when I started broadcasting, I knew one of the things I needed to do was write a book. And I started to write a book that I never finished. I got distracted. I read a lot to prepare for the podcast and this radio show. That includes books and articles. And the one book I was reading was Common Sense by Thomas Paine, and it was incredibly difficult to read in Old English, words we don't use in a manner of speaking we no longer use. So as I read through it, I would look up the words I didn't understand and research the phrases. And I did this. I made notes, essentially creating a version in modern English. It took several months to complete this as I painstakingly worked to ensure that the meaning was preserved exactly as Thomas Paine wanted it. And finally, I did. I published the Common Sense in Modern English. The reviews have been fantastic, and people who read it agree it's a much better way to read it. Shortly after I wrote that, people began to ask me, what is common sense anyway? So I did a lot of research and couldn't find much, so I wrote a book on that too. It's called Common Sense, How to Get It Even If You Don't Know What It Is. Part of my many years listening to talk radio included broadcasters in the self-help genre, people like Dr. Jim Corey, who used to broadcast from WWDB way back in the 70s, and people like Earl Nightingale, a Marine veteran and father of the self-help industry. Those names motivated me, giving my experience as a Marine. I had a lot to offer in this area of expertise. And finally, I did write a book. It's called Be the Lion, The Secret to Massive Accomplishment. Over the years, people often ask me, how do I juggle so many things? All the answers are in that book. But there's one more thing. It's the story of the Marines at the Battle of Kafji, my newest book, and you don't want to miss it. You'll be inspired, and you'll learn what it means to fight to the death. And of course, all my books are available on Audible. I'd appreciate if you go check them out at projectchaos.org. And remember, books make great gifts. Project Chaos started on the premise that we were going to reveal the truth about what had happened in certain historical events, particularly related to our military and our veterans. And it's been a real success. I'm happy to report some of the interviews absolutely blown away any expectations I ever had when we started getting into this already. And we're just 10 coming up on 11 weeks here. Important thing that I wanted to mention is that all the support that we've received has been phenomenal. Everyone who's emailed and purchased the books and shared images and links on social media, it's all been fantastic. And that support is really helping to get the word out. Now, I want to make sure I took a moment to ask you directly to please continue to support us as best you can. As much as you can share the links to the show out on social media, the videos are a fantastic way to do that, to introduce people to what we're doing here, making introductions if you know any veterans, and certainly buying our books and magnets. And to those who can, we do offer the ability for one-time and monthly support. It's not really in the plan long-term to have a listener-supported model, but at this particular juncture, with all the work, time, and resources going into this, as we build up a certain momentum, your support is critical to ensuring that we can continue this. If you could, go visit projectchaos.org, grab a couple videos, share them out on your social media accounts, buy a book, buy a magnet, and if you can, please support the show. You'll see support right in the menu. It's our goal to be helping veterans, not to be a burden, but this support is critical at this time. Thanks for your consideration, thanks for your listening, thanks for helping spread the word. It means a lot.
don't think I agreed with the deployment at all. I know I didn't agree with the war at all. And I don't remember having any big discussions with it with the rest of the guys, because those kind of conversations sort of fall under the term mutiny, not something that we did. But I'll bet you if you went back and took a poll, that most of us that were there deployed felt that it was nonsense, didn't agree with the purpose, didn't agree that it required a war. But yet, despite that, we went about very aggressively and at times very enthusiastically killing other men. Did that bother me? Yes. I talk about it in the book, the APC story, the Armored Personnel Carrier story, at Kafji. I was on guard duty when they brought these shot-up APCs out. And that's not the part that bothered me. The part that bothered me is I could smell the burnt flesh of the Iraqis on it. It's nasty. It's disgusting. I watched as there was a bit of a celebration with some other Marines there, I think from battalion or something like that. I found it detestable. I made a conscious decision. I never messed with any dead bodies or any other stuff. I never took anything. I knew there would be a price to pay down the road for that. Certain secrets, certain things, you take to your grave. But those things, I saw some of those things and went on. And now I see what other guys, some of them engaged in, nothing illegal or anything like that. But some of the things that they went and looked at, some of the things that they touched or whatever, I see them paying a price for that all these years later. I'm glad that I didn't do it. But let that be a message for young Marines, young soldiers, young airmen, young sailors. Always do the best you can under the circumstances and always do what's right. That's how you avoid feeling guilty. And all that to say, yes, the purpose and actions carry a huge moral weight. So how to process that? Well, very simple. It's our ground. Wherever we go as a unit, okay? I'll just explain this to you in military terms, or at least Marine Corps terms. We would call it breaking ranks. And you don't want to be on that end of a Marine Corps unit breaking through their area. Even as another Marine Corps unit, you don't do that. Wherever we go, wherever we land, it's our ground. And that leaves three options for our enemies when we arrive. You either leave, you surrender, or you die. Okay? None of those decisions lies with the individual Marine or soldier. Every one of those decisions is made by somebody else. In our case, we fired the rounds at Kafji. We hit those APCs killing those young Iraqis. Yes, it bothered me. It's a real shame that they had to die. But the blame for that lies with their commanding officer, not me. There was a point last week, I was describing a firefight in Vietnam. And I said that when everything had fallen to complete chaos, that the only thing left is sight aperture. And I don't know if anybody knows what I meant by that. But this is when I speak about Project Chaos, seeing clearly in complete pandemonium. What I meant by that, the sight aperture, you have to see clearly through that little peephole, through the smoke, through the fire, through the stench, whatever's going on. You need to see clearly. You need to hold steady, and you have to squeeze the trigger. Thinking clearly under the highest level of duress and taking action. That's what veterans do. We don't curl up in a little ball and cry. We don't ask, what are we supposed to do? I never heard anybody ask that. 4 years active duty, what are we supposed to do? Doesn't happen. Yes, as veterans and now citizens, we bear a huge responsibility to hold this sham government responsible for its actions. And we do. In the meantime, every Marine needs to know clearly, your mission is to kill, kill, kill. I was thinking about naming the Memorial Day show that, take a little different turn. I don't think so. But I'll say this, there was a time in my life, I said this, I honestly believe we'd see world peace. And as much as I'd still like to see that, I see a world in big trouble and violence likely on the horizon. And many other people saying the same thing. I hope I'm wrong. But the point is this, the mission remains the same. We hold our ground and we never turn our backs on each other. So this idea of post-traumatic growth, as I said, you know, it's easy for me to throw that out there. You've got these different categories of people. I don't have the guilt of not having deployed, so I don't have to deal with that. I didn't serve in peacetime, so I'm not in that category. And I'm also not in the worst category, guys that saw incredible carnage. You know, James Bradley talking about on Iwo Jima, 85% of the unit didn't go home. Of the six guys on Iwo, of the flag raising, only three of them even came back alive. Listening to Joe Tyson talk about the guys from his high school that didn't come back. And even in the interview, Kevin Ferris telling the story, said, you know, it dawned on me. Mike Cressa, we're all here with our families having a good time, and he was robbed of all that. But he wasn't robbed of all that. He gave it up. He sacrificed it willingly. But I understand it's easy for me to talk about this compared to some of the things that other people had to see. And I understand that PTSD is a real, I think it's a physical, psychological reaction. It affects you. It does affect me. You know, I say this, I'm as cynical as they come. I don't believe anybody. I don't believe nothing. Not until I've checked it out. I don't trust anybody. Sorry to say that. You just don't. After you've seen what human beings are really capable of, the true essence of human being, you say to yourself, never again will I trust another human being. That's just me. And you know what? I'm grateful for that. I don't want to be trusting at this point after what I've seen. So I view it as a strength. Now, it's like anything, right? There's a bit of a yin and a yang to that that has to be balanced for sure. So I don't want to be, you know, completely cynical, I guess, but it might be too late for that anyway. It's too late. Thanks. Thanks for noticing, my brother. I want to talk a second about the impact of the lies. You know, I remember coming back. I never realized the impact of this. We were waiting for our medals. We came back to the base. This is where I say the military, and I guess you have to lump the VA into that, do not do a good job. We got back from deployment. There's just nothing. It was like jumping off the merry-go-round, and you're kind of standing there out of balance. And you kind of exactly what Daniel described. You know, boredom sets in pretty quickly, and alcohol's available, and shoop, that becomes a new priority. But for some reason, some of these things bothered me, you know, waiting for our medals, the lack of, and I want to say the lack of a homecoming. There were some things that were incredibly generous. This is another area where I have no right to talk about this compared to what the Vietnam veterans went through. I'll say this. It was the Vietnam veterans that made sure that we did not have to experience that. 3 o'clock in the morning, landing in Bangor, Maine, out in the middle of nowhere. That's how we came home. And you know who was there? The Vietnam veterans and their families. So, yes, we got an incredible. I remember getting off the plane landing. I don't remember where we landed, whether it was Honolulu Airport or we landed at one. I really don't even remember. This is funny, right? But I do remember this. The pilot opened the window, and they had the flag flowing and flying out the window, and there was people there. So, yeah, we did. I don't want to sound ungrateful about any of that. But at the same time, once we got to the base, it was like, oh, it was over. Then they had us marching around these stinking parades that we wanted to go celebrate. I don't want to celebrate any of this. I just want to go home. But the impact of all that and how that gets processed is going to look a little bit differently for sure. But then you've got the added impact of the lies in the media and how that affects veterans. When the story's not told properly, that either somebody else is given credit or the veterans themselves are blamed for what happened, and that's why I get so riled up about this Australian veteran. And I understand what he's saying. I don't disagree with you know, guys go off to fight wars. I don't know why they're going off to fight them. Well, whoever does on the frontline level, you're not thinking in those terms, and you can't. You don't want that to be happening. That's left up to the leadership. You have to have trust and faith in your leadership. That's where our crisis is right now. Listen to people like Stuart Scheller. Listen to what I'm telling you. We are having a moral crisis of our population and a leadership crisis in our military, in our politics, and it's just a matter of time before it leads to destruction. I'll say this, you know, every one of these situations, everybody coming home is going to process all this differently. Families are going to process it differently. Veterans come home to different problems, different situations. You know, not everybody's going to come home to, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Cleaver household. Some of these guys left because they were running from gangs or drug addicted families or whatever the case would be. They want to make a better life for them. So now they got to go back to that. They got to make sense of all that. And sometimes it can be a little challenging. But even a guy who served in peacetime, and I think Daniel did a great guy who's been on multiple deployments, always talk like that. Right? You don't hear him trying to one-up anybody. He say, you know, even somebody who's enlisted, it's true, I've said it. You go through Marine Corps boot camp and come out of that without PTSD. It's going to affect you in a certain way. So everybody, even somebody who served completely in peacetime, it can be hard to adjust to civilian life. And sometimes there's a guilt that develops, right? You know, why not me? Why didn't I go? I think this was part of what affected the Crescent's family. that they were having so many much guilt of the guys that didn't go and they saw what was happening. And they were all very aware of all this and very sensitive to it. And they worked together to get through it. And that's what we need to do as a veteran, larger veteran family. And like I said earlier, just remember this. Guys come home with horrific injuries that go on to do incredible things. Every one of us has the ability to navigate these things. It's not as hard as you think. It may be harder for some people than others. I recognize that. But it's not as hard as you think. You've got to refocus and reprogram your mind. And if you're that deep, you've got to be willing to ask for help. And just like we never turned our backs on the battlefield, we never need to turn our backs on each other as civilians either. We need to address our civilian struggles with the same focus and tenacity that we did our military efforts. This issue of veteran suicide and the increase, I was listening on the show prior to this. It was a great segue to what we were doing. We're talking about Memorial Day, and the guest was, I think, the president of the American Legion. He threw out the number. Here it is right here. More than 71,000 veterans died as a result of suicide from 2011 to 2021. So that number is increasing. That's 10 times the number of troops killed in wars in the Iraq and Afghanistan wars over 20 years. We can fix it. We got to stick together to do it. We're not going to leave anybody left behind. We'll see you back for Memorial Day. Remember to visit ProjectChaos.org. We'll see you there.